So my name is Matt, and I'm one of the leaders here at Jubilee Church. So I'm going to introduce our new preaching series, and the title of the series is The Blessings of Jesus. And it consists of nine sermons bringing us up to March. And the series is an opportunity to look at the Beatitudes. Now, I'm sure many of you are familiar with the Beatitudes and could recite some of them or even all of them. They're well known in all denominations within the Christian faith and are found in the book of Matthew. Now, the Beatitudes are the spoken word of Jesus taken from the Sermon on the Mount. And the word beatitude comes from the Latin beati, which translates as blessed or favoured by God. Now, you may have seen the photograph, here it is, that features in our series of posters, and it's taken in northern Israel and in a region that could possibly be where Jesus is thought to have preached the Sermon on the Mount from. And I like this image. I can just imagine Jesus sitting there, and behind him is that spectacular view of the Sea of Galilee. And it's a beautiful spot. And the people there are just enjoying spending the day there listening to Jesus speak. And before I read the scripture, I'm just going to pray. Father, be with me and help me to deliver this message. We invite your Holy Spirit to be with us. Help us to receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So the scripture, it's Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. That comes up on the screen. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." It's possible to read all that again and swap the words "blessed are" with "God finds favour with." And it may help grasp the statement. So in the coming weeks, each one of those will be explored. Now, we use the word blessed or blessing, don't we, in regular conversation? When a small child takes his or her first steps, we say, "Ah, bless." And it's an abbreviation of asking God to bless that child. We are, in fact, praying a mini prayer, saying, "God, bring favour to this child." We see their vulnerability and we're moved and we want to see them blessed. We might say, "I've been blessed with lovely hair," or "a great bone structure," or "some natural abilities." This idea that God has found favour with us and he's bestowed a gift on us that is something for us to enjoy. We may ask for our parents or another authority figure to give blessing on a particular idea or venture. "Can I have your blessing to get married?" It's a way of gaining permission or a sense that a particular individual approves and will support you through it, and a way of receiving their wisdom. It's a similar sentiment that we'll look at today, whereby a parent, a father, blesses his son. I'd like to look at the famous account in the Bible that features the twin brothers Esau and Jacob and their father Isaac and mother Rebecca. It could be found in Genesis chapter 25 to 27. We begin the story with Isaac and his wife Rebecca being childless. Now, God made a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of nations, his descendants would be as many as the stars in the sky. And now this inheritance and God's covenant, covenant means God's promise, has passed to his son Isaac. And so God has sent them a child, in fact, twins. God spoke to Rebecca and told her that the youngest of the twins would inherit all the family rights and privileges. So Rebecca gives birth to two boys named Esau and Jacob. Esau is the oldest, he's entitled to the inheritance, and Jacob is the youngest. So let's read from Scripture, Genesis 25, 27 to 28. It says this: the boys grow up, and Esau becomes a skillful hunter, a man of open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So Isaac prefers Esau, the rough man's type, the outdoorsy bloke. And Rebekah prefers Jacob, the softer stay-at-home type. Let's read Genesis 25, 29 to 34. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." And that is why he is also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is a birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank, and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. There's a picture that I have, picture of the two brothers together. So these two brothers appear to be quite different. They are physically different. Esau is hairy, and Jacob is smooth-skinned and hairless. Esau likes the outdoors, and Jacob doesn't. But more importantly, Jacob can see the value of the birthright, and Esau despises it. We read on 27 verses 2 to 4. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." So Isaac, who is now an old, blind, on his deathbed, wants to pass on his blessing to his son. We might think of it as Isaac wants to get his affairs in order before he dies, discussing the terms of the will. But it's actually more than that. There's a spiritual significance as well as a practical one, where God will find favour with the new head of the family and equip him and guide him as he carries the mantle of Abraham and Isaac down the family line. You know, it reminded me a little bit of when I was made an elder at this very church, and people kindly gathered round to pray a blessing upon me as I took up the position. And I thank you for those prayers and a tremendous source of support and comfort to us elders and leaders. Rebecca had overheard them. If Jacob is to be head of the family, he should receive the special blessing. Rebekah came up with a scheme to trick Isaac and snatch the blessing from Esau. So Rebekah instructs Jacob what to do. In 27:9-10, it says this. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies. Now, Jacob was afraid that that trick would be discovered. His father would never mistake him for Esau, even though he could not see. But Rebekah had thought of this. She cooked the meat, wrapped the skins of goats around Jacob's neck and arms so that he would feel as hairy as Esau. Then she dressed him in his brother's clothes, which smelled of the fields of the woods, and sent him to his father carrying this tasty game stew. So this is what happens. Genesis 27:18-22. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you will give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord, your God, gave me success, he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father. Isaac touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeds to bless him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. 25-30, carry on the story. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I might give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him and he ate. And he brought some wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac came and said, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he was blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and people bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mothers bow down to you too. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac had finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. I've got a slide of that deception there, you see, going on. It's the image that captures that full sense of the deception, the length Jacob is prepared to go to receive the blessing. He's prepared to fool his father's sense of smell, wearing his brother's clothes, his sense of touch by wearing hairy animal fleece, and his sense of taste by serving him food prepared just the way he likes it. However, when Isaac heard the real Esau's voice, he gave a cry of horror. And he blurted out the whole story, and they realized that a trick had been played on them both. Esau cried bitterly with disappointment. Then he grew angry and vowed to kill Jacob. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I sat down and tried to understand this story, I just didn't get it. What on earth is this story about? Why would God bring a blessing to such a dysfunctional and immoral family that will go to extraordinary lengths to get what they want? There appears to be so much wrong with this. Where do we start? Esau, he gives his birthright away so easily and despises it. This inheritance would have included God's covenant passed down through Abraham, and he probably would have known about it. Jacob won't share his lunch with his brother, who is close to collapse, demands this disproportionate payment. And if that's not enough, he goes on to deceive his blind elderly father so he can get the blessing. Rebekah is the mastermind behind this whole deception, with cunning, and she's very cunning and quite willing to go to great lengths to go against her husband's wishes. Surely, God must look at these events and these people and their behaviour and be thinking, you don't deserve a blessing from me. You're self-serving and lie to get what you want. What is it about the blessing that would cause Jacob and Rebekah to go to such great lengths to receive it? And as I was thinking and praying and saying to the Lord, I don't get it, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me this: you're only looking at the sin and not the will of God. See, I'm looking at their behaviour, the lying and the deception, and I'm judging them and saying, God, you should have had nothing to do with these people. In a sense, I'm trying to be God. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. I do not have the right or authority to decide who God should and should not give a blessing to. You know, in order to understand this story, we need to split it in two parts. There's the birthright or inheritance and the blessing. And they're two separate things. They are linked, and if you want one, you want the other. See, the birthright, this includes the practical inheritance. That's land, livestock, wealth, the responsibility to be head of the family. And Esau gave that away. Whereas the blessing, well, what's so important about it? Well, it's a prayer whereby the individual receives a blessing that is anointed by God and where God finds favour with you. But you also have to look at the bigger picture. We need to understand the theology and see the event is part of a much bigger story. It's really lovely when we do our little prayer sessions like we did this morning, and some of the prayers connect with the preach. And you'll see what I mean. Since the fall of Adam, God has a rescue plan to save humanity. And Elizabeth prayed about a bit of that rescue plan as well. So since the fall of Adam, God has a rescue plan to save humanity. Abraham has a covenant from God that he will be the father of nations and his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. God blesses him as an old man with his son Isaac. Isaac is to pass on the inheritance. But instead of Esau, it went to Jacob. And it's through Jacob's fourth son, Judah, renamed Israel, and then through to David, and then through to the fulfillment of God's ultimate blessing, the Saviour, the Messiah, Jesus. And it's that inheritance that is passed to us and as we receive Jesus. How many people growing up remember the song, the children's song actually, with actions? Father Abraham, put your hand up. There's a few of you. Do you know the actions? Yeah, I bet you do. So for those of you who don't know, okay, Father Abraham, the lyrics are, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord, left arm, Father Abraham. Anyway, by the end of it, you're doing this, right? And you look round, and there's your mum and dad, and there's the pastor, and there's the worship team, and they're all doing this, you see? And I've got no idea what I'm singing about. Not a clue. How could I be a son of Abraham? I knew he died long, long time ago. Because I didn't understand the theology. I didn't get that this what it was about, that passed down through the generations. And when we receive Jesus, we become part of that family. And through the Old Testament, we see the Jewish people deserting God. And then God brings them back, then fall away again, repeating the cycle. Elijah, Moses, Daniel all play their part in seeing God's people repent. God will always work out his purposes, even in a sinful, messed up world. When we are dysfunctional, God will never give up on us. God's grace and love prevail in spite of our sin. That's why Jacob keeps his inheritance and receives the blessing. But let's be clear, it wasn't all sweetness and light. He ends up in exile for 20 years, hiding and fearing for his life. Romans 8, 28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Can you put the last slide up, please, which I think... Thank you. Okay, so how does that relate to us at Jubilee Church today? Number one, don't forget your promised inheritance as Christians. Don't forget your promised inheritance as Christians. Esau dismissed his inheritance and missed out on a blessing. Our inheritance is summed up in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." This inheritance is to come as we live with Jesus in eternity. Number two, the blessings of Jesus are an intrinsic part of our vision. From the point of salvation, where God gave us his ultimate blessing of Jesus, we love God. Then we are to love one another, and then to go on and do mission together. Each week, as we go through the Beatitudes, we're going to unpack what those blessings are as believers. Number three, don't focus on the sin of others, but see the will of the Father. It's very easy to see a person sin and judge them. The sin of pride, addiction, sexual sin, sin of hatred and bitterness. Don't judge, just pray. Let's love one another. Don't gauge sin as big sin and little sin. Now, the church is guilty of that, focusing on a particular sin as being more wicked than others. See, I couldn't see why God wanted to bless Jacob for his deceptive ways. I couldn't see past the sin. And yet God wants to bless everyone, and he does. You know, I can think of key times in my life when I was living in sin, outside the will of God, and not walking with the Lord, and yet God still had his hand on my life, and he blessed me. I know I didn't deserve it. In a moment, Dave will lead us in a time of communion. Before he does, let's pray. Lord, thank you for our inheritance and the blessing of salvation. Help us to be mindful and not judge the sin of others and be resentful for their blessings. Now, I'm going to pray a prayer for Jubilee Church, and I've based it loosely on Isaac's blessing prayer. Lord, I pray for heaven's dew on Jubilee Church. Heaven's dew is the soft and tender mercy on his church. We had that earlier. Somebody prayed out for mercy. May you bring abundant provision to this church through the finances, including bags of food. May you increase our flock with new people and families. May they want to serve and be active within the life of the church. May God bless our leaders as they wisely guide us and find favor with those who serve. And Lord, I pray for a mighty blessing and for the protection of every person here today, young and old. In Jesus' name, amen.